Thank you, Derek. Good morning, everyone. It is really good to be with you just now. It's really good to get to worship with you and to share with you this morning. It's a real privilege. We're going to be reading from Psalm 124 today. I'll give you just a second to get there if you want to follow along, and then I'll start reading. So, Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when our enemies attacked us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. So, one of the things I really love about the Psalms and getting to read the Psalms is the way they give us a sort of window. I'm just going to put this down. Is the way they give us a sort of window into the way that God's people have learned to worship Him throughout history. And I think the Psalms really quite good for that. You can really see how it would have been sung in a communal setting or a group gathering. I particularly like the open verse where, you know, it opens up with this call to say how good God is and how He saved them and how Israel's hope is in God. And then we go to you get this wee insert that says, let Israel now say. You can really see, and then the line repeats, so you can really see how it would happen in a sort of communal call and response type thing. I remember I grew up in a very charismatic church, and every now and then someone would get up and they'd say something, and the expectation was you'd shout it back to them. And it's that sort of thing. There's this challenge to kind of, if people singing kind of to and from. And then the language which runs through the psalm is really, really powerful. You can see that the psalm is reaching back into their experience and the experience of the Israelite community, and taking that experience in order to give glory back to God. So you see them drawing on these moments in their history where things seemed really difficult, where things seemed really hard. It talks about, you know, the enemies of Israel coming to wipe them out, and how they would have lost, and it would have been like the waters went over them, but God came and saved them. There's something really precarious about it. It's the sense that, you know, if God hadn't showed up, we really would have been done for. In verse 7, it says, you know, we escaped like the bird from the snare of the fowler. It's like we got away by the skin of our teeth, and if it hadn't been for God, we'd have just been done for. And yet all that tension, all that precariousness is taken back to give praise and glory back to God because He was their salvation. I love the way that it uses these stories to bring glory to God and to encourage the community to go back and worship God. And I was reading it, and I was reading these inserts and these stories of, you know, how these guys came so close to destruction, but God saved them. And I remembered this story from when I was much younger. So when I was about 16 or 17, I had the opportunity to go and do some mission work with my family. We went out to a place called Isabela, which is in the north of the Philippines. It's a very kind of rural place. There's lots of countryside and a few small towns, but it's generally speaking, it's really quite rural. And what we would do, my dad was a GP, or is a GP, I should say. So we would go out and we worked with a church planting foundation out where we were. And we would go out, we would go and set up at these local church communities. My dad would go and we'd take a wee minivan and we'd roll the minivan up outside the church and we'd turn the seats around in the minivan and we'd run essentially a free clinic at that local church. We would, you know, we'd get a bunch of folks in who needed medical attention. We'd take them up to the car. My dad would see them. He'd look at what was potentially wrong with them. We'd maybe give them some medication if we could, and we'd send them on their way with some advice and some prayer. And we did that a lot of times. Most of the times we would do that with new church plants or kind of established church plants that were about 40 to 50 people, which was quite a lot where we were, because bear in mind, people didn't travel as much as we would here. But there's one time we got to do something really rural and really out there. We got to go out and do a clinic with one of the mountain tribes that they would do mission work with. So this tribe was, they were way out in the hills, and it was really difficult to get to them. We had to load up this pickup truck with everything that we had, and we had a guide who rode on ahead of us on a motorbike to show us where to go, and we drove up this road, and the road was alternatively great big patches of mud that were really hard to drive on, or piles of rocks as big as my fist. We later found out that the road was deliberately kept really badly by the people that lived in the mountains. So some of them, for various reasons, the reason they'd gone to the mountain was they wanted to avoid contact with the government or with police sometimes. And so they deliberately made the road really hard to get up so that you couldn't get up there unless you really wanted to and unless you had a guide. And so we drove up in this four-wheel drive big pickup truck. And we got about halfway up the mountain, and about halfway up the mountain, the front two wheels gave out. And so we weren't in a four-wheel drive truck anymore, we were in a rear-wheel drive truck. And we went a bit further, and eventually got to the top of the mountain. And by the time we got to the top of the mountain, we'd actually lost one of the back wheels as well. So our four-wheel pickup truck had become a one-wheel pickup truck. Which isn't as good for getting up mountains as you might have guessed. But we got there. And I remember we kind of set up a wee table, we had our medications and everything the same way we normally would. And I remember getting to sit out at the top of this hill, it just being the most beautiful sight. There were green hills and jungle everywhere you looked. It was just exquisite. And we spent most of the day there. We saw quite a lot of patients. We even sat and had some lunch while we were there. But during the middle of the afternoon, we had a wee bit of an emergency. So one of the people that we'd seen started to have a seizure. And we didn't know what was causing the seizure. We spoke to the people there and we couldn't find out what was going on. We didn't know if it was an ongoing condition, if she had medication or any of that stuff. We just knew that she was very unwell. And because we didn't know what was causing it, we needed to get her to the hospital. And that, of course, meant going back down the mountain, because the nearest hospital was about 10 or 15 miles away on a dirt track. So we loaded up the pickup truck. My mum clambered in the back with three or four folk. I got the front seat at the side because I was terrified of heights, and they were putting me in the back of the truck. One of the pastors drove us, and my dad sat in the back seat with his patients to make sure they were okay. And we decked it down the side of this mountain in this one-wheel drive pickup truck. Now, truth be told, I can't remember all of this journey. I've blocked most of it out to the back of my mind, but there's this one moment that's etched itself in my brain that I'm never going to forget. So we were the first kind of quarter of the way down. We were still very high up. And I remember there's this sheer drop down one side. I can look out the window and I can just see down. And I can't see the drop on the other side, but I know it's there. I can kind of glance around the front window and I can see. And so we're juddering along on this rocky road and we hit a patch of mud. And it's a really deep patch of mud and we only have one wheel going. And so what happened was what happens when you hit a big patch of mud with one wheel going, which is the car turned. And all of a sudden, I wasn't looking down over the sheer drop. I was looking at the road because the road went this way and the car was facing this way. So I can see the road at my window and it's the front mirror now that's over the edge. And I remember clear as day thinking, right, this is how I die then. this is how I'm going. Was 16 years old. We're on this road. You can feel it turning. But by some miracle, as you may have guessed, we didn't fall off the side of the road. God showed up. The pastor who was driving us was an excellent driver. and we managed to get the car straightened out. We did for a little while face this way and go that way down the side of the road, so we're kind of like travelling sideways like a crab, but we got back onto the road. And we managed to get onto the dirt, and we kept going down, and we did eventually reach the bottom. When we hit the bottom, a car came to pick up the patient and take her to hospital, because obviously the truck was dead, so we didn't want to drive it on the road at high speeds all the way down. And I remember sitting out at the side of this pickup truck after the patient had been taken along, where we were kind of waiting for repairs to happen and stuff, and looking out over the green hills and the sunset and the mountain that was now behind us, and just feeling really alive and really convinced of God's presence with me. Really, really secure in the fact that God loved me and he was faithful to me. I knew in that moment that the only reason I was alive was because God had made sure I was alive. Because God has been faithful while we were out on the margins in that precarious place serving him. And I look back on that moment now, and I have to confess there's something that troubles me a little bit, because in the intervening years I can't think of too many more moments where I've experienced my faith in that sort of way with that level of conviction. I mean, I'm 26 now, so it was more than a decade ago that this happened. And I'm not just 26, I'm 26 and kind of secure. I'm 26 and married. We live in a wee house. I couldn't be further away from that wee space on the side of the mountain in the Philippines. It's a long way away and a long time ago. And it was reflecting on that and the memories that brought up, and remembering what that feeling of you know, being saved just out the fire that felt like there, that I began to wonder about what some of the other layers in this psalm was. We talked about that call and response thing that happened at the start, where the psalmist opens and then he turns around and he says, "Let Israel now say, if it wasn't for the Lord our God, we'd have been done for." And on one hand, that's a communal worship thing, it's a call and response thing. On the other hand, I think it's a bit of a challenge to Israel to remember who they are and what God did for them when they were young. Now that they're established, now that they're not in that place anymore, to remember how reliant they were on God and how clearly God showed his faithfulness to them. See, it was in that precarious place, that place of tension, where God showed up and demonstrated himself to them. And in worship, it's that place which he calls them back to. And I wonder if we were to reflect as a community, as a church community, what those moments, those precarious moments, where God just whipped us out the fire, would be for us. It's easy to forget going now, but Whitehinch is only about 20 years old. That makes us probably one of the younger churches in Glasgow, certainly one of the younger churches in Scotland. When I go to university and I chat to colleagues who go to other churches or pastors who've come to lecture with us, most of their congregations have been around for 200-300 years. And they can tell stories generation upon generation of what happened there. And it's only when you get back right to the start that the really good stuff, the really exciting stuff shows up. But for us, you know, we've still got people like Iris and Glenn who were here when this church was founded. I remember when I did Forge, we did a community mapping exercise in Whitehinch. And so a bunch of folk who'd been around Whitehinch when it was founded took us around the community, and they would tell us stories about the different things that happened in the different places. And you would hear stories of places where God showed up and made a way for the church to be founded, that if God hadn't shown up, nothing would have happened. You know, I remember Alan talking about knocking on doors and going around saying, "We've started a new church in the community," and knocking on one door and someone opening it and just going, "Fantastic, we've been praying for you for ages. Good, you're finally here, but now we can get on with stuff." Those moments where it was just so clear that God had us and was going to take care of us. And it's not just limited to that either, not just limited to those stories of kind of the early days of White Inch. Me and Rach were chatting yesterday, and we realised that had we run a camp this year, it would have been Saturday yesterday when we would have come home from camp. And we were talking about these stories of places where we just were at camp where, if God hadn't shown up, we'd have been sunk. Of like setting things up for kids' evening services and having the whole sound system cut out with like 10 minutes to go, having to figure out what on earth we did, of getting like 2 or 3 hours sleep every night and getting up in the morning and going to worship and pray and ask God to come and break through in the lives of these kids, of running activities that were quite dangerous activities with kids who sometimes really did not like being told what to do, and having to pray that just everything went okay. I'm sure if you spoke to just about anyone on the camp team, they would be able to tell you a whole bunch of stories like that. I'm sure if you spoke to any of the Healing for the Heart guys, back when Healing for the Heart were partnered really closely with us, you would be able to hear stories like that, of times when God just showed up. And I'm sure there are others too. And those stories are important. And those testimonies are important because, for two reasons. One, because they remind us in times like this, when things feel a wee bit tense, and we've not seen each other in a long time, and we've not really done anything in the community in a long time for a whole variety of reasons, not least the law, they remind us that God's still faithful to us, that if God did these things for us then, he's not going to let us down now. But they also challenge us when we are older, 20 years old now, more than that, and established, and we have a semi-comfortable building arrangement. Still not a building, church building, but a more secure place than we had than when we were meeting in flats and we shop fronts and things like that. And we've been around for a wee while, and we're not just the wee church that five folk random people planted out, but we're an established church. The challenge is not to settle for an established and comfortable religion, but to dwell in those places, those precarious, tense moments on the margins where God showed up in a lively way, in a powerful way, and to hunger after that, to know that that's our heritage of faith. And so that's what I want to encourage us to do today. I think it's really important. I'm challenged by the way this psalm reflects the history of Israel and their willingness to delve into that in worship. Their willingness to call back to the time when God has showed up for them in the past, to know that he will show up again. And I want to challenge us this week to reflect on where those moments have been in our lives, whether they're our individual lives, whether they're the lives of our family, or whether they're the parts of our church journey, and to reflect on those moments where God revealed himself to us, and to take some time to either to share them with other folk, or to seek other folk out and try and hear their stories, or to pray into them, or to write them up, or to do something with them. We're going to go into the Zoom room in a wee bit, and I'd encourage you guys, when you get put into your breakout rooms, to take time to ask about those stories, to share stories from your own life, to reflect on them and allow them to move you so that God can show you where he's been there in the past and what he wants to do with you in the future. So that we as a community learn to seek God out in the margins and in the precarious, difficult places. I'm just going to pray and then we're going to close with some worship. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have plans for us which are exciting and a little bit perilous and full of you. Thank you that you are always faithful to us and that you demonstrate your faithfulness over and over again. We're sorry for the times when we forget that. We're sorry for the times when we don't dwell in those moments and we allow ourselves to be comfortable with where we are. Jesus, come and reveal yourself to us anew and afresh.